Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We got at least, in my opinion, a pretty decent show ahead of us. We're going to have some fun. We'll goof around a decent amount. We'll hand out some Christmas presents. We might grind some gears along the way as well. We haven't done that segment on this show in a hot minute. And the holiday season, more than anything else, brings out the general grumpiness in all of us. We will talk to, it's a Friday. And while we may not have Andy, we may not have Jeff, the true heartbeats of this show and the friends of this show will be here. The legend Tim May will join us at 1 o'clock today. Brian Anderson, the best friend of the show, will join us at noon. We'll get his thoughts on the guards trades of Josh Naylor, the Andres Jimenez deal. But more than anything else, we'll get his Browns thoughts. Hopefully he can keep it clean for us. And we will also get his thoughts on college football along the way. And then another one I'm excited for, our buddy Doug LaMaurice. Kings of the North, you can watch that on YouTube. That's his YouTube show that he does on pre-games on Saturdays and then post-game as well, or post-day as well. On YouTube, you can catch the podcast as well. You may remember him as being a longtime columnist for Cleveland.com and a Plain Dealer along the way. We will have him join us at 11 o'clock just to talk big picture college football. And really just one of my favorite people to talk to in general, because he always makes me think. And you may not agree with Doug. You may, see eye to eye with him. You may disagree with him. But my favorite thing of Doug LaMaurice is that he makes you think. So he's going to join us at 11 o'clock today, and we're just going to talk all things college as we're in the middle of bowl season, in the middle of the transfer portal, in the middle of Jim Larranaga deciding to retire. We'll get through all of that stuff along the way, too. The wonderful Meredith Kane joins me on the board as well. Anthony Alant will be on taking your phone calls on 2020 a little bit. Mackenzie Flume will knock out the 2020s until around the noon area as well. Kevin Stefanski, live from the podium, 1:30 today, right around that area. We will have that for you. That's typically when he rules guys out for the game. We'll keep you up to date on who's practicing today as well in Berea, as the Browns take on the Dolphins 4 o'clock on Sunday. I think that's all of our promos. I think we got all our promos done there. So let's dig into this bad boy, because it seems like the same sentiment is coming from a lot of different directions. We all know on Friday of last week, Myles Garrett came out and, to paraphrase Myles, said, "Hey guys, it'd be really nice if we could get a plan on the offensive side of the ball here. And if you don't have a plan, or if that plan involves us deciding to kaboom this roster and start from scratch, I would like to not be here through the kaboom. If you could maybe move me somewhere else where I got a shot to win a title, that would be fantastic. But I just want it to be known that if you could sit me down and tell me that there's a plan, and that this plan involves winning, I'm good. I'll stay. I just need a plan." And again, I'm paraphrasing Myles Garrett. He put it far better than I could. And it feels like this week in Berea, that sentiment is starting to be echoed from a lot of other directions. We have had this come out all over the place where basically the players are taking Myles Garrett's lead, you know, Myles Garrett being the true leader he is, are taking his lead and are coming out to the meeting going, folks, what are we doing here? What's going on here? What direction is this team going? Are we still in a contending window? Or are we done? Are we moving in a different direction? Are we going to tear this thing down once again? And frankly, it's the same exact question that all the fans have, too, is where are we going? I felt over the holidays, I got that more than anything else. The two questions I got, and we're going to address the second one later on in the show, but the two questions I got were, why did the Guardians trade Josh Naylor? And the second question that I got is, what the hell is going on with the Browns? And it was basically just worded in that way. It is an open question that could go a lot of different directions because that's where this team is. This team is an open question right now. There are so many things that have gone awry this season that, like, I can't just point to one singular thing and go, what's wrong with that? You know, it's not what's wrong with the offense. It's like, what's wrong with the offense? What's wrong with the special teams? Why is the defense doing what it's doing? How come ownership is operating in the way it is? What's happening with the dome? Why is the dome taking place? Is it in Cleveland? Is it not in Cleveland? I don't know. It's just, this is where we are. There's a lot of uncertainty with this team, and that comes with being 3-12. Not only being 3-12, but being 3-12 with one of the oldest rosters in football. If you're 3-12 and you're mega young, nobody's asking questions. They're looking at this and going, what? You're just young. That's why you're 3-12. Guys are learning. They're getting better. Is everybody better at the beginning of the season than they were at the end of the season? Because if that's the case, you're succeeding. It's the same way we all judge our youth sports teams on top of that. Are the kids having fun? And is everybody better at the end of the season than they were at the beginning of the season? That's typically how, like, a young team goes. We've had a lot of those Browns teams. This is not a young team. This is one of the oldest teams in football. This was a team where the contending window was supposed to be open. They're the 11th oldest roster in football, and that's after making the move to get rid of Za'Darius Smith, who was in his early 30s, and to get rid of Amari Cooper, who was in his early 30s. And they're still the 11th oldest roster in football. This team is at a crossroads right now, and they have got to figure some things out. And so not only are you, the fan base, asking questions, Myles Garrett is asking questions. And then yesterday, Denzel Ward stepped to the podium, and he asked questions.
Yeah, I'm ready to win as well. So I'm ready to win as well. I know Myles is too. We're competitors and winners, and we're just looking to try to find a way to get to the top and to obviously not have a losing season like we have now. So. We're just really just looking for the how to get there. So we're trying to find out how to get there, and that's the biggest thing. When they show Miles, I'll just look over Miles' shoulder and and see what the plan is, and you know I'm ready to go forward with it, whatever it is. So that's how I'll do.
Hi, I'm a veteran Pro Bowler, and I would like a plan too, please. Like that's it. By the way, they're all justified in this. Like. We all want that in every aspect of our life, not only in following our football teams, but following our work as well. It's the same exact thing where you work. If you're in a position where you're working for someone and you don't know the direction of the company, you don't know if you're going to be working in that company in a year from now, you're going to ask questions. And especially if you've been there for 8 years like Myles Garrett. Especially if you've been there for as long as Denzel Ward has for this ball club. You're going to sit back and go, what are we doing here? Which direction are we going? Why are we going that direction again? And you're justified in doing it when you're Pro Bowl caliber players. And so I just look at this, and I look at everything that's taking place in Berea, and I keep just wondering the same thing, which is everybody wants a plan. Everybody wants a direction. And this organization has operated for a long period of time as though plans and directions are on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know. And so we are now at a crossroads of this team. And we are at a crossroads of the season where we can pick two directions. We can either pick the path of continued contention, where you kind of bring everybody back and you sit down with Myles Garrett and you give him the plan of contention and you give Denzel Ward the plan of contention and you give Joel Bitonio the plan of contention, and we'll get his comments in a little bit, because his comments to me sounded a little less like I would like to retire and a little more like I would like a plan, and if you can't give me one, then I'll retire. And I'll let you be the judge of that in the next segment as we get to Joel Bitonio. But you can either continue that route and you can go, all right, we're going to have Deshaun Watson. We're going to yank the lever on his contract once again to lower that cap hit. We're going to kick the dead money down the road. We're going to do all that stuff so that we can turn around and continue with a roster that we think is talented enough to contend for the playoffs and possibly have a shot at the AFC Championship game, possibly win the whole thing if everything falls the right direction, right? That's plan A, which is we go get veteran quarterback X, and we continue this window of success. And, well, hopeful success, I should say. And then there's plan B, which is burn it down. And we are all, as a fan base, pretty exhausted with this season. We have all had enough of the drama. We have all had enough of the sniping. We have all had enough of just bad football all the way around. And so it's very, very easy for a fan base to just go ka-chunk on the lever and burn it down. You know, to essentially go Wile E. Coyote and push the plunger down and blow the whole thing up. I wonder what the organization wants to do and what the organization is thinking. And the brain trust that's involved, as Daryl Ryder would call it, the circle of trust, he did a wonderful job this morning. I wonder what they're thinking as they're hearing their veteran players walk out and go, folks, what's the plan here? What are we doing? Are we contending? Are we not contending? Because if we're not contending, I very much would prefer to go somewhere that's contending. I got one of the best cover corners in football, arguably the best man corner in football, coming out in front of a podium going, yeah, I'd like to look over the shoulder for that plan. I would like to know the direction that this ball club is going to. I would like to know if the contention window has closed in their eyes and if they're looking to blow this thing up. And Miles is the same exact way. Guys, Defensive Player of the Year. I will get votes again for that award this year as well. I am a Hall of Fame pass rusher. I am arguably the best pass rusher in football. I would like a plan. And I think I've deserved that, because if you're going to blow it up, I don't want to be here. If you're going to blow this whole thing up, I would really prefer it if you would trade me to a contender, because then I could go get my Super Bowl ring. Folks, I ask you, as you hear these players come out asking for a plan, put yourself in the eyes of the Browns right now and the brain trust of the Browns. What's your plan? If you are Andrew Berry right now, what's your plan? If you're Paul DePodesta, if you're Kevin Stefanski, what's your plan? Are you the path of push the Wile E. Coyote plunger down, blow the whole thing up? Or are you the path of let's move some things around and let's continue with a contention window that's open with this core of players? And I want to have this conversation this morning, because this is the conversation that should be taking place in Berea right now. It's the answer to the question we all have. It's the question that you got at your Thanksgiving table. All right, sorry. Well, you got it at the Thanksgiving table too, but it's a question you got at your Christmas tables. It's a question you got at your Hanukkah tables, Kwanzaa, the whole way through at all of your holiday parties. It's a question that always came up with this team. It's the number one question. What are we doing here? What are the Cleveland Browns doing here? And so I ask you, 216-474-0092, what's your plan? If you had these veteran players coming up to you for the Cleveland Browns, what's your plan? Are you going to continue to go forward with a team that's on the older side but has the ability to contend? Or are you picking the path of pushing the plunger down, the old Acme plunger, and it all goes kaboom, and we build it once again? 216-474-0092. At the Sports Feller on Twitter. Dan Menigan in for Baskin and Phelps. You're listening to 92.3 The Fan. Use the voice message function on there. Just right when you go to 92.3 The Fan, you'll hit it. You'll start listening to the show, all that stuff. Like right next to where it says 92.3 The Fan, there says like voice message. You can hit that and record right into your phone and send that directly to us. We will use that in the new year starting for Askin Baskin and Phelps Helps. You can ask the guys whatever questions you want. You can throw me in there and ask me questions of, you know, things that I don't know why you would want to pick me outside of cocktail recipes, which cheese goes well with a certain, you know, beer, which the answer is all of them. And maybe I don't know which Grateful Dead show you think is the best, because that's pretty much where my expertise is end would be drinking, that kind of stuff, and jam bands. That's pretty much where my realm is. And you know, a man's got to stay in his lane. So I'm trying to figure out, and we're all trying to work together on this one, because you're starting to hear it from now inside of the locker room, and it's starting to echo exactly what the fans are beginning to say, which is, what's the plan here? What are we doing? Andrew Berry, Paul DePodesta, Jimmy Haslam, D. Haslam, Glenn Cook, Catherine Hickman, whomever else you want to point to inside of that front office. What are we doing here? Where are we going? What is the direction? Because you're hearing it from Denzel Ward going yesterday. Hey, I would like to know what the plan is. I am an all-pro cornerback. I help you win. I have been here for a long period of time. I went to Nordonia. Your fan base loves me. Myles Garrett. Hi, I was the number one overall pick. I'm defensive player of the year. Your fan base loves me, and I aid in winning. And you're starting to hear this from other veterans along the way, going, I'd like you to sit me down because I would like to know what the plan is here. And I feel like the fan base is exactly in the same boat, where we're all sitting there going, yeah, I mean, while you're telling them the plan, why don't you come out and tell us the plan? Because I don't know what we're doing here. I think we can all admit, folks, that DTR isn't the answer quarterback. I feel pretty confident in saying that. If I get burnt by it this week, I'll come out and apologize to you, because I want DTR to be the answer, because if DTR is the answer, that's the path of least resistance to contention. Because that's a guy who's on a really cheap contract, who is already inside of this organization and will remain on that cheap contract for a couple more years. So if that's the answer, that's the path of least resistance. Let's go. The problem is, I don't think DTR is the answer. I can't look at you with a straight face and say that. So now what? And that's what we're all asking. And then yesterday, Joel Bitonio steps up to the podium, and Joel Bitonio speaks every week, and he's very thoughtful, and he's wonderful to listen to, and all those things. And this cuts a little on the longer side, but it's filled with a lot of really good stuff. And Joel Bitonio, a man of very few words, doesn't want to rock the boat, has been here for a long time, and is probably going to the Hall of Fame as a guard, came to the media, and he said this.
Like you said, for this season, it's the last one. We'll see how we're doing in, you know, a couple weeks after the season. Like, it's very hard to make a decision when you're in the middle of it. You're going through that daily grind, you know what I mean? So I'm going to, you know, finish the year as strong as I can and, you know, see how we feel in a couple weeks and, you know, go from there.
What would be the determining factors for you? Once you get this season, what will you be thinking about before you make your decision?
Truthfully, it's mostly personal, just like how my body feels, you know, going into another season. You know, like the game, like it's an amazing game, like blessed to play, but it's a stressful game. Like, you put a lot on your body. Like, how are you going to feel in 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? You know, and so we'll just go from there, talk with the family and kind of see where we're at. You know, the goal now, like, you're in year 11, year 12, you know, like, you want to try and win games. Like, it's hard to go out there and go have three wins right now. Like, that's been tough. Like, it's tough on your body. Like, you just don't feel as good on Monday when you're losing games. So it's part of the process, and you'd love to hear what the plan is, you know, going forward and kind of see where we're at.
Okay, stop. Thank you, buddy, to the wonderful Meredith Kane on that one. So the beginning of that you heard in all of it was, okay, a guy who's thinking about it, hey, my body hurts, I probably need a surgery or two that I'm not talking about right now, that's not showing up on the injury report. You know, we've had a rule for a long time on the show when it came to reading the injury report. that Joel Bitonio is on there and we just don't even acknowledge it anymore because he's going to play. So that sounds like a guy who's like, yeah, probably need a surgery or two that I haven't really led on to this entire offseason. So I'm going to talk with the family. I'm 33. I've been compensated for a good period of time. But then that second part, he starts going like, yeah, I don't really know where we're going. It's that same sentiment coming up once again that we had with Denzel Ward, that we had with Myles Garrett, of a guy who's looking around and going, yeah, the season hasn't gone the way we want to. Yeah, the direction that we're looking to go, I don't know what it is. And I got to talk with my family because if we're going to kaboom this thing and blow it up, then I don't know if I want to be here for that. I don't know if I want to be a part of you guys tearing this thing down once again. I've torn it down twice. It wasn't fun. I don't want to tear it down a third time. Everybody's looking for a plan. Everybody's looking for a direction. This season has almost just, and I don't know if it was from Jump Street or if it evolved into this, but folks, this season is just a rudderless ship, and the captain's compass has been busted for 6 months, and we are just floating on the ocean, praying to find land. And what we need is some kind of a plan, and we need some kind of a direction, and the players need it. I'm sure the coaches need it. I think if you were to sit down in an honest moment of Kevin Stefanski, who I think is somebody who sits there and goes, look, I just get the players that I've been handed, and I do my damnedest to coach them into a position to win football games. I may have, you know, a couple ads every so often, a couple thoughts in between, but my job is to coach the guys that Andrew Berry hands me. I'm sure in an honest moment, you might even go to him and get him going to the front office going, where are we going here? What's the direction of this thing? Are we contending or are we not contending? Is the window still open? Is the window closed? Are we prying the window open with a hunk of wood, or is it closed? Have we duct taped the window open, or are we painting it shut for the time being? Joel Bitonio to me, and I might be off base, and feel free to, you know, yell at me and correct me for it on social media as you find, you know, saying to be the right thing to do, but like, that to me sounds like a guy who's like, yeah, I'm doing the yearly kind of mole. Like, okay, I've been handsomely compensated. I enjoy my time with my wife. But what are we doing here? And if you gave me a direction, I think I'm in. If you told me we're going to continue to contend, I think I'm in. But if you're going to look at me and say, well, we're going to maybe try to unload some guys and we're going to get more draft picks and, you know, we're going to try to thread the needle, you know, all of that kind of nonsense that comes in between there and coach speak and GM speak and all that kind of stuff. I think that's a guy who's like, I don't want to do that. There was more to what Joel Bitonio had to say. He goes in a little bit deeper and has some really good points in here.
Much winning you can do. I don't know specifically with Joe Thomas, but he was like in the start slash middle of a rebuild when he was retiring, and I don't know if that played a factor or if he was just done anyway. But you know, you see that sometimes with guys where it's like, you know, what do they have, you know, coming back and stuff like that. But that's all stuff I'm going to worry about in the off season. Right now, you know, I got a game to play, and we gotta lock in because they have some, you know, good players up front. For me personally, like, I don't know what they think up there, but like, I'm going to be a Cleveland Brown, I think, for my career. So if I come back, like, whatever decision they make at quarterback is what decision they make, you know. So I you know, I'm not as young as Miles where you have some options other places. So for me, it's more going to be like how I feel personally, how my family feels, and all that stuff.
Why not seek an exit to a Super Bowl?
I think it's hard to, like, I mean, Cleveland gave me a chance, and I've been here for 11 years, and, you know, there's been some, you know, losing and things like that, but we've had some moments where, you know, we've won, and we've had some runs here, and those memories are always great for me, but they've given me so much, and I love this organization and what they've done for me and my family, and at this point in my career, like, I just can't see myself putting on a different helmet. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. And that's kind of what it's. And like, it's hard to pick, like, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard to pick a team that needs a, you know, left guard that wants to bring you in, that wants to, you know, take care of you. And you make that decision to be like, hey, we're going to win a Super Bowl here. And quarterback gets hurt, or someone gets hurt, or you get hurt. And then you're like, dang, I just chased this Super Bowl for, you know, what purpose? Like, it's easy in hindsight to be like, oh, yeah, Joe should have gone to Denver that one year. But, like, you don't know what would have happened when he, you know, goes out there and stuff like that. So I think that all that is so hard to decide on. You know, it's just, that would be out of the question for me.
Joe Bitonio yesterday from the podium. A lot of interesting stuff in there just about his future. And to me, it just sounds like a guy who's like, yeah, I know, I'm 33. I have played a long time for this team. I'm an 11-year pro. I've been great for a long time. I'm probably going to the Hall of Fame. And I'm really happy with where I am in Cleveland. And I don't want to pick up and move my family. I like the schools that we're going to. They have friends here. Everyone is comfortable. Everyone is happy. And I've got two paths. I can either retire or I can keep playing. And those two paths are going to go hand in hand with the paths of this team. And so I ask you, after hearing Denzel Ward, reading Myles Garrett's comments, probably hearing them for the past week and change, Joe Bitonio reacting off of it. If you're Andrew Berry and you're hearing all of these guys come to the media and kind of say the same thing, and they're communicating with you that way to put a little bit of heat on you, to put a little bit of pressure, what's your plan? Are you blowing it up? Are you saying, forget it, we're going to tear this thing down and we're going to rebuild it the way that we once did? It's the modern NFL. All you got to do is get a quarterback and you can rebuild this thing so quickly. Look at the Houston Texans. I know CJ Stroud isn't playing the best right now, but you get the idea. Look at the Houston Texans. Look at all of these other teams that are able to bring a quarterback in and find a level of success relatively fast. Or are you going, we're going to try to thread the needle. We'll bring in a veteran quarterback who can help us. We're going to see if we can replenish some of the defensive line that we traded away. Maybe some of the young players are looking better and the drafts are starting to look better and we can go into the draft this year and take a defensive tackle or take a defensive end that you think can bolster Myles Garrett and let's freaking go. And we're going to put DeJuan Jones at left tackle. We're going to have Jack Conklin at right tackle and we're going to bring this whole thing back together and we're going to cook. You've heard three players ask this organization, where are we going? What are we doing? And I'm putting you in the GM chair. I'll tell you what I would do next. Dan Madigan for Baskin and Phelps, 92.5. Doug is awesome. And if you remember him as a longtime writer at Cleveland.com and a playing dealer, and just a great mind to have a conversation with. And I want to have a big one about college athletics and where a lot of things are going, because right now there are a ton of moving parts and a lot of guys are in places that they are uncomfortable with and they're not happy about it. And so I just wanted to talk to somebody who is a lot smarter than I am, which there are a ton of out there. But the one who responded back to me was Doug LaMaurice. So I guess he just tolerates my nonsense the best. But before we get there, I promised you a plan. Myles Garrett's asking for a plan. Joe Bitonio is saying, I might retire, I might not retire. But it'd be really nice if I had a plan to make that decision if I would retire. Denzel Ward coming out going, yeah, if you're going to give Myles and Joel look at that plan, I'd like to see it too, if you don't mind. Folks, I feel like we're on two paths. Path A, thread the needle. Path B, blow it up. So here's the plan that I have. And you can call it the Madigan plan if you so desire. I don't like trading Hall of Fame players. That's just the standing that I'm in. I don't like trading Hall of Fame players, especially when they're in their prime. I don't like trading Hall of Fame players. Keep that in the back of your head as you hear this plan. I don't think it's productive. I would rather have the proven commodity over the magic beans. That's just how I operate. To me, draft picks are trade chips. I can't stand using it. I can't stand trading things for draft picks. I can't stand the idea of having like, okay, here's your handful of magic beans. Now you can go scout and figure it out. Oh, by the way, there's like a 45% hit rate in the first round. And then it slowly decreases every round from there until you hit like the fourth round. And it's the equivalent of holding dice and just throwing it. Like, it's kind of what it feels like after a while. So here's where I am with this. I am telling the three of them that Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of the future for this team. I am telling the three of them that he is going to be in the locker room. I am telling the three of them that he might be on the practice field. But I'm also telling the three of them that he's going to be inactive every week. I'm telling the three of them that we are going to help him with the recovery of Deshaun Watson. We are going to do all of those things. But moving on from his contract is a detriment. It would tank this team. It would send us down path two, and I don't want to go down path two because I think there's enough talent on this team to not have to go down path two. So, I'm keeping him around. I'm yanking the lever on that contract. I'm kicking the money down the road. And I'm going to use that to turn around and bring in a veteran quarterback. The guy of my choice would be Derek Carr. I think the Saints are going to move on from Derek Carr. I think they are starting to lean toward finally tearing this thing down after trying to contend for, goodness, close to 15 years. If that is the case, Derek Carr is my guy. The other one you could talk me into would be Kirk Cousins. If Kevin Stefanski walked up and pounded the table and said, I want Kirk Cousins, I'd go, great. That, sure, let's go get Kirk Cousins. Guy that he had success with 5 years ago. I am not the biggest Cousins fan. I think that Achilles injury may have done him in. He was never the most mobile guy to begin with, but now he really isn't mobile. And it just seems like Father Time is starting to catch up to Kirk Cousins. But if that's who Stefanski wants to do this, then that's what we're going to do. Maybe Gardner Minshew do anything for anybody? I don't know. Uncle Rico will always bring a smile to my face because every time I see him, I think of Mike Leach. And so I will always have a soft spot for Uncle Rico. But the whole idea of that is I want that guy here for a year. I want that guy here for 2 years. I'm not looking for a long-term solution in a veteran quarterback. I am looking for somebody that I can bring in to bridge the gap. I'm not taking a quarterback in the first round of this draft. It's not happening. I would either go Abdul Carter from Penn State, or I would go Mason Graham from Michigan. The two defensive linemen, those are the two guys that I have watched this season and have jumped off the screen. Like, just seem like the guys that I continue to see and go, whoa, that guy. He looks faster than everybody else. He looks, especially Mason Graham. Mason Graham is my number one on that. He looks stronger than everybody else. Like, and I'm telling Myles Garrett, I go, that's your solution. We're going to beef this defensive lineup. Because if I could beef this lineup, all of a sudden everything on this defense can take a step forward. I didn't love the idea of bringing the band back together last year because I think you need at least one or two to three new assets in there that you can go, we're winning it for him. I want this idea coming from here. I want this over here. I want this young guy here. Like, I like that concept of bringing in new blood. I don't love bringing the band back together. And so we would tinker on the defense as well, but more than anything else, we would continue to beef that offensive line and get more speed, more talent because, again, as everybody in Cleveland will tell you, I agree with every last bit of it, as every smart football person will tell you, you win in the trenches. Win in the offensive side of the ball, you win in the defensive side of the ball, and it's right in the line in the trenches. Quarterback makes life a lot easier as well, but an offensive lineman, keep that guy upright. I'll take a quarterback later in the draft, but we're not taking one in the first round. It's not happening. I'm looking at Myles Garrett, and I'm saying we're gonna invest. Again, I'd go Mason Graham at defensive tackle. If you want Abdul Carter, fine. But I'm putting a veteran on the other side of Myles Garrett as well. Maybe a Khalil Mack. If there's another pass rusher out there, Josh Sweat is out there, who I've always kind of liked from the Eagles. He's been a little on the up and down side, but I've always kind of liked him as well. And that's what we're doing. And I'm running this thing back. And I'm running back with Kevin Stefanski. And I'm looking him dead in the face and going, is Ken Dorsey your guy? Is Ken Dorsey who you want here? Is this your offense? Because if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with the reason I hired you, which is your ability to lead and your offense. You hire an offensive-minded coach so that you can get his offense. It's the reason you do it. It would be the equivalent of hiring Sean McVay and saying, you know, North Turner would look pretty good with you as well. Like, what? You hired me because you liked my offense. So that's the other side of this. I'm bringing back Kevin Stefanski because I like the known commodity that I have. I know that a chunk of people out there, I hate his press conferences. He says the same thing every single week. I'm not hiring an entertainer. We're not hiring James Brown. I want somebody who could coach football players. You could be the most boring human being on the face of this earth. If you can motivate people and you can coach football and you can coach scheme, great, you're here. And I think Kevin Stefanski is that guy. I know some of you have issues with his play calling. I get it. But you have issues with everybody. Everybody has issues with every single coach, every single play caller in the league. We've played this game more times than we can count. You could go to Green Bay right now and you'll see people complaining that Matt LaFleur doesn't run the ball enough. You could go to Kansas City right now and you'll see people complaining that Andy Reid doesn't call timeouts at the right place and he doesn't run the ball enough. You can go to Baltimore right now and you will have people yelling at John Harbaugh about, for some reason, why does Todd Monken's offense slow down and fall apart in these certain situations and he loses his way. Everybody has this. Detroit will yell about Dan Campbell fourth down decisions. Nobody's perfect. You're not going to find the perfect coach. But you got a pretty darn good one here. And I'm bringing him back. And I'm bringing Jim Schwartz back. I'm leaving everything where it is. The only thing that you could talk me into if you wanted to would be moving on from Andrew Berry. I'd listen to that conversation. I could make that move. It makes sense. Sure. But even if they came back and said, we want to keep Andrew Berry, I think I'd be fine with it. I know his drafts haven't been ideal, but his trades have been outstanding. His free agent signing has been pretty darn good, too. Is the Dustin Hopkins contract a mistake? Yeah. Is the Deshaun Watson contract a mistake? Yeah, but the problem is I can't pin the Deshaun Watson contract extension on just him. It takes a team to sign that kind of deal. It takes a lot of people agreeing on things to sign that kind of deal. I can't take a bad decision and pin it on one person, especially a decision that big. And so that's my plan, folks. That's what I'm telling Myles Garrett. That's what I'm telling Denzel Ward. That's what I'm telling Joe Bitonio. My plan is to continue to try to contend and to treat this year like the year from hell that it was. Is to look at this thing and go, here's what we're going to learn from this. We're going to take away the idea that Deshaun Watson is not the quarterback of the future. We're going to wipe that off the board and we're never going back to that idea. And we're going to start beefing everything up a little bit more. And we're going to make it so that when the injury bug hits, it doesn't completely just derail this whole thing. And we are going to bring in an offensive system that doesn't look like it's trying to be an amalgamation of three different offenses that all won't click together. It looks like you took me and dropped me in the middle of Mexico and told me to have a conversation with someone in Spanish. That's what I feel like watching this offense. It's just clunky, doesn't work, doesn't really know the language all that great. We're doing the best we can. We're understanding it. It's better than where it was before. But that's my plan, folks. That's what I got. I'm telling them this, and I'm not blowing it up. I'm not trading Hall of Famers. I'm not doing it. I would rather go down in a contending window with the ability that I can put a statue of Myles Garrett out front, with the idea that I can put Denzel Ward into the Ring of Honor as he retires as a Cleveland Brown, that I can put Joel Bitonio in the Ring of Honor as he retires as a Cleveland Brown. Because I still think, A, these guys can play. I'm not paying for was. I'm still paying for is. And B, they help me win. And I've got enough veterans on this team that I can win. And I've got enough talent on this team that I can win. So why am I going to blow this thing up? I would rather keep trying to win. I would rather keep seeing if what we build is a better thing than do continuous teardown. And maybe my number one reason for all of it, folks, and I'm not going to lie to you, I've never believed that the solution to chaos is more chaos. I've never been someone who thinks to himself, well, things are going to hell in a handbasket. Let's shove it further into the depths. Why not? It's already hot. Let's get hotter. I've never thought that was the right answer. I've always thought the right answer was some kind of stability. And this feels like one of those times in life where the old Browns team would choose the path that involves shoving the basket further into the depths to get hotter, instead of looking at it and going, okay, how can we wheel it back up? 216-474-0092. At the Sports Feller on Twitter, you can get at me with your thoughts as well of what you would do with the Browns. Our buddy Doug Maurice, Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer, joining us next right here. Dan Madigan in for Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Keep it locked in. Kevin Stefanski, 130 today.